The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Good evening, everyone. Amen. So this is two kinds of services for us now, right? For some of us that have been here since morning. How long have been here since morning? In 7 a.m.? Okay, so it's just a continuation for you. And some of us that are just coming this evening, at least that came around for service, you will just be privileged to benefit from what I'm going to teach here, because this is actually an LMP teaching, right? So, and any place I stop it, I will stop it. Because whenever we return for LMP, I will continue. Is that okay? Glory to God. So it's going to get better and better this evening. Hallelujah. So I'm teaching, I called it, because we rounded up something we started in the morning. Why are you here in the morning? We're looking at sound doctrine, right? And such an important teaching that blessed us and keeps blessing. Hallelujah. And keeps blessing. You know, while I was just going home, I was meditating on some of the things that we shared. Right? Especially when I was giving that admonition on, it just came alive in my spirit again, on why you shouldn't follow trends as far as doctrine is concerned. But as far as anything ministry is concerned, you don't do life by trends. You don't do ministry by what is trendy and what is in fashion. And I think there was a big digression earlier this afternoon to talk about why you don't, even as a music, as a worship minister, or even your own personal life, you don't sing songs by trend. There are churches that if you want to know the trending songs, go there on Sunday. Once it trends on Thursday, it must appear on their pulpit on Sunday. And that's not how to do ministry. I get the point. So if you come here wondering, why don't they sing all these trendy songs? I have nothing against these songs. I don't even know they exist. That's the first thing. And even if I know, we sing songs that God wants us to sing now. Hallelujah. He sings us, you know, what's the trending song now? Okay, yes, I know that one. I can't. Now, I may sing it one day. But you don't sing songs because it's trending. Because the thing about it is, it's worship. And it is the worshipped that determines the object of worship. Right? It is God that will tell you what to worship him with at any given time. You don't get to choose that. Are you following me? You don't get to choose that. So it's important. No, I've talked about that and very strong. So this evening, I'm talking about God's pasture. Hallelujah. God's pasture. This is a sequel to an existing message. The shepherd, the sheep, and the pasture. Do you know that teaching? So this is sequel to it. Right? So you hear me repeat some things I said in that teaching. But there's a direction God wants to lead us in this particular teaching on God's pasture. And of course, when I'm talking about the pasture of God, if you are a good Bible study student, you know I'm talking about the church. It is almost impossible to have a full ministers' conference without talking about church. Because Church of Jesus Christ is the base for major ministry operations. So it's good to talk about the church and all of that. So God's pasture. It's good I start by letting you know that a church is not something we start or that should start because of passion. If I can give you, tomorrow I'm going to explain this further, but I can give you, there are some reasons people start church. It's not something you start because of passion. Well, I mean, a believer can start and begin to serve God and have so much passion and zeal and even maturity and has natural ability. That doesn't mean the person can start a church. It's not something you start because you have passion. It's not something you plant because there is passion. Or because the thing is burning in your heart. Or because you feel you can preach. Or because you feel that you have some sort of natural abilities. Hallelujah. It's also good to know the church also is not a question of a group of persons coming together to start something. You know, some people just say, I know, since we are here, let's just start worshiping. That's not a church. It's good, but that's not a church. I get the point. So, I said it's not something to start because of passion. There are a lot of people that just feel passionate. They say, can I just start a church here? You can feel passionate and you do evangelism and get people saved. Right? But then, that's not exactly how a church is going to start. It's not every evangelical work that will lead to church planting. That's it. That's just the big digression. The church, rather, is a project inspired by God. It's a project inspired by God, you know, of which he begins with a person and other people now get to join. So it's not something you start because you're excited or because you think you can. And why I had to start this way is because the church of Jesus Christ is his pastor. So I'm trying to say he is the one responsible for starting churches. That's what I'm trying to say. God is the one responsible for starting churches. So even if you are passionate and you are gifted and you do ministry very well, but he doesn't want to start his church here. If you start that thing, it's not his church. Are you following what I'm saying? It's not his church. It is his pasture. His pasture. Are you following me? So it's God's pasture where his sheep comes to feed. That's why he's not careless with it. Now, if you want to think about the church and what Jesus is doing, think about a rich man that has about 10,000 sheep. And then he obviously cannot keep all of them in one field. So he's building different sheep pens. That's what they call it, Abby? Sheep pens in different places. So he builds here, he keeps 100 of his sheep and puts somebody to take care of them. He goes, he builds another 100. I get the point. Before this man comes to establish his pen around your area, around the place, he will first do some kind of survey. He will be sure the place is safe. I get what I'm talking about. Just like if you want to establish a poultry farm, you want to check the environment, or a pig farm. You know, some pig farms, you take them farther away from the house and all of that. But you want to check the environment. Make sure it's fine. Put someone in charge. It's not something you do carelessly. That's what I'm trying to say. So the church is God's pasture. Only him has the right to start it. That's what I'm trying to say. Only God has the right to start church. Start a church. So unless it is something inspired by God to a person, it's a project he inspired. You can't call that church, even if people are gathering there. Because I can tell you there are some gatherings that you can simply call a satanic agenda. That even though people are there and are shouting amen, you can't call it a church. Because he didn't inspire it. Are you guys following me this evening? He didn't start it. And I've kept telling you, sister, but can't we just start when people just gather and then God will now come? God doesn't join things. He either starts it or he's not involved. He doesn't join things. He always authors things. And he finishes. But he only finishes what he authored. If you start it, you're on your own. And that's why, starting this way, it's important that I remember. Tomorrow I'm going to say a few things about the call of ministry. But then to reemphasize again, church can never be man's agenda. It can never be man's idea. Any gathering that was started or orchestrated by man is not a church. It can be a place that's shouting amen, amen, but it's not God's pasture. It's not a church. Are you getting what I'm talking about? He must be the one that originates that idea. It must come from him. It must come from him. It must come from him. As a group of people gathered in a place and they say, oh, you know what? There's no church here. Can we start meeting every Sunday? That's a good thing. But if that is going to stand as a church, God has to be the one initiating it. Are you getting what I'm saying? He has to be the one initiating. And let me tell how he initiates. He always shares it with a person. God never talks to a committee. God has never spoken. He doesn't speak to a group of persons. Do you follow what I'm saying? Should I say that again? God does not speak. God doesn't, like, if you are thinking that one day we are going to be here like this and then there's a voice from heaven, my people, let me talk to you. I will shut the voice up. Yes, I will. Because I know it's not God. God doesn't talk to people. A people. He speaks to a people, but he speaks to a person to pass the message to them. The only time a people said they wanted to hear God for themselves, God said, fine, gather around the mountain. He thundered once, they ran away. They told Moses, hear for us. Hear and come and tell us. Are you what I'm saying? Even for that thunder that they heard, Moses prepared them for like 3 days. Sanctify themselves to hear thunder. You know, they heard it, they ran away. Because that's how God speaks. And that which they were running away from was something that Moses would go up to the mountain and stay with for 40 days and give them information. You know why they couldn't cope with that? They were messing with God's order. You guys, I want to hear myself. No, don't talk like that. So if it's going to be a choice, it has to be God's agenda. It has to be started by God. It has to be communicated to a person. Then others will come along. So if all of us just come together and say, you know what, I'm thinking, let's do something great. You are about to build Tower of Babel. You know, Tower of Babel was a case of people coming together, they wanted to do something. So you have to be very clear on what God is doing in the local church or in the world. He's, of course, God is starting churches. But I'm just saying, it must be him that started this, that inspired for it to be called a church. If he's not the one that inspired it, it can't be called a church, even if the person is naturally gifted. So you can actually come out and feel like, I have a strong following. Everywhere I go, people respond to me. If I talk, they listen to me. I think I should start church. No, you can't. Oh. If you start it, there may be a crowd. They will gather. There will be miracles. But it doesn't count. Do you know, so what do you mean by it doesn't count? Every church that Jesus authored, every church he started, he marks it with a candle. A candle. Are you following what I'm saying? A candle, a lampstand. Revelation chapter 1. Let me show you. John saw Jesus walking in between 7 golden candlesticks. I don't know why I'm starting with this introduction today, but let's just feel as the Spirit is prompting it. He saw Jesus walking in between 7 golden candlesticks. Revelation chapter 1. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Did you leave your voice at home? So hallelujah. Amen. So verse 12 says, when I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks. And in verse 13, it says, and in the midst of 7 candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and get around the about the paps with a golden girdle. So Jesus was walking in between these 7 golden candlesticks. And you might wonder, you know, this is not the place where you start saying, what if it means this? No, you don't think. There is something it means, and he told us what it means. Amen. Then in verse 20, he said, the mystery of the 7 stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the 7 golden candlesticks. The 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches. By angels, it means the pastors. Because John saw 7 stars, and look at what John saw. John saw Jesus, saw a man, with 7 stars in his hands. Right? In between 7 golden candlesticks. So he was confused. And he told him, the 7 stars are the angels. That's the pastors. Not like Angel Michael. The pastors. That's what this means. The word is angelos in the Greek. So he can serve as angel, he can serve as pastor. But in this context, he's pastor. Human messenger. I get to the point. So he said, that tells you. And he said, and the 7 golden candlesticks which thou sawest are the 7 churches. So the picture God showed John is Jesus standing in between the 7 churches holding the pastors in his hands. Are you following me? Now this should actually show you a picture of how God sees church. So when he plants one, he illustrates it because the church is light. I get the point. There was a place in Revelation where he told a particular church that if you do not repent, he was telling the pastor, if you don't repent, I will remove your candlestick. So actually, God can remove those candlesticks. In other words, I'm done with you. Are you following me? So if in the realm of the spirit, there is no candlestick representing the Exalted Platform Church. What we are doing here is just social club. I get what I'm saying? It's just gathering to clap. And when you meet Jesus, you will know, you might even register your church, but he doesn't know it existed. And that's why you take calling seriously. Tomorrow I'm going to address this calling matter. Are you following me? So it's not a question of, it's not preaching that pastors, let me start when I preach. Be sure. Because once that happens, he sets up that lampstand. And then, look at where he holds the pastors in his palms. So, there is a special provision for the called man who is working in his calling. Are you following me, friends? Are you still here? So, the church is God's pasture. Only him can start it. You can't start it. I don't know why God is emphasizing this, but I'm saying you cannot start God. Nobody can start a church. Since I've already started one. Well, technically I didn't. God put it in my heart and I started it. He says, sir, if God is speaking, why didn't he speak to another person? If God is speaking to you to start church, why didn't he announce it to the whole world? He doesn't do that. Do you observe this Revelation chapter 2, chapter 3 was God's word to the seven churches. Yet he didn't write to the seven churches. He wrote to the angels of those churches. He wrote to the pastors to now tell the church. That's how God speaks. He doesn't speak to the church. He speaks to the person to tell the church. Are you following me? So how God does is he has an idea. He wants to start a church. Then he calls one person and gives person the vision. And the person will now begin to announce it to others. He is only involved in it. And he only sees that place as his pasture. If he was the one that brought about that idea in the first place. In the hearts of the person. So he knows I started this. Now, any other thing outside this, he's not involved. Pack a crowd, he's not involved. Now, will healings happen there? Yes. Will miracles happen there? Yes. But it doesn't count as his pasture. God is not careless with how he sets up his sheepfolds. Are you following me? Which is why, as a believer, if I even proceed with this, before you make up your mind to join a church, be sure that it is God that started this. There are many gatherings that God has involved in. In fact, there are gatherings that it is Satan that inspired the person that started it to start it. Are you aware? I mean, no, you don't get the point. Like, some of them, I'm not saying they didn't know it. They knew it was Satan. They know. There are pastors, or so they claim, that demons appear to, and they enter covenant with demons to start church. There are pastors that go to native doctors to get power to start church. You know, right? So that one, Satan inspired it. So it is his own sheepfold. Because you know, Satan tries to counterfeit what God is doing. So you've got to be careful. Because if it is not God's pasture, it's not his pasture. That's why a church is not something you can start because you are angry. See, they just verse me in the other church. Let me go and start my own. God doesn't set up his pastures like that. You've got to be sure that he's sending you. And you pastor, you member, you have to be sure that where you are, that God inspired that place. If not, there is no provision. The Lord is my shepherd. That is the truth. He is the shepherd. He cares for his sheep. But the sheep must be his pasture. That's why there are certain things that belong to the man who is in God's pasture. Are you following me? Praise God. So the church is God's pasture where his sheep comes to feed. That is why we are called sheep. And I can show you many places in Psalm 100 and verse 3. The believers are called sheep because the church is his pasture. He said, we are his people. That's Psalm 100 and verse 3. Amen. He said, know ye that the Lord is God, and it is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Are you glad you are the sheep? You're sheep of God. Are you glad? See, why are they calling us sheep? Are you glad you are a sheep of God? Okay, you don't like sheep. What would you rather be? Pork meat. We are the sheep of his pasture. Hallelujah. And maybe, I may not have time to get into that, but you know, that is the wisdom of God. That is the reason he called us sheep. Yes. That's the reason he didn't use another animal to refer to us. He didn't use goats. He didn't use like, you're laughing because I mentioned goats. The sheep is not even a perfect animal. The sheep has its own flaws, but there's a reason why it was used. What it means is that, let me even say it in passing, what it means is that if you are going to do well in God's pasture, having him as your shepherd, you must have some ways you behave that is like the sheep. If you don't behave like sheep, you can't do well. Are you following me? Glory to God. So we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Psalm 79 and verse 13. Psalm 79 and verse 13. It says, so we thy people and sheep of thy pasture will give thee thanks forever. So we are the sheep of his pasture. We are the sheep of his pasture. Because, you know, if God has a pasture, if God is a shepherd, it means he must have a pasture. Right? If God is a shepherd, he must have a pasture. What that means is, if he's a shepherd, it means he has sheep, and there is a place he takes his sheep to feed. Are you getting the point? And I'm showing you that place, which you are going to see much more, is the local church. The local church is God's pasture, where he comes to feed his sheep, where he keeps his sheep to sleep, where he keeps them to feed and to grow. Ezekiel 34 and verse 31. Ezekiel 34 and verse 31. Hallelujah. He said, and ye my flock, the flock of my pasture, amen. I am your God. So he said, you are men. So that you don't think he's talking about real sheep. Because in the whole Ezekiel 34, he was talking about, we're going to look at all of that very shortly. He was talking about sheep. He now go to verse 31 and said, really, I'm talking about men for real. See, you guys are men. But you are the flock of my pasture. You are the flock of my pasture. Micah chapter 2 and verse 12. Micah chapter 2 and verse 12. Hallelujah. It says, I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel, and I will put them together as the sheep of Bozrah, as the flock in the midst of their fold, and they shall make great noise by reason of the multitude of men. He's saying he's going to gather Israel, and all of them are going to gather. He's going to gather them like as sheep, but there will be many. So God has many sheep. And I'm one of them. Are you following the point? I'm one of them. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So we are God's sheep. And I want to emphasize again, this pasture is his church. Somebody's going to say, you've been saying that. Can you prove that from the Bible, that the church is God's pasture where he feeds people? Yes, very clearly. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1, Peter writing to the elders, he said, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who also am an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. He said, feed the flock of God which is among you. Right? Taking the oversight thereof, not by conscience, but willingly, not of faith locker, but of a ready mind. So he said, he was talking to the elder. The elder there is talking to the pastor. He's telling the pastor, feed the flock among you. So it is in the church where the pastor operates that the sheep is expected to be fed. So I'm emphasizing again, the church is God's pasture. And that's to tell you plainly, anyone that doesn't belong to a local church is not being fed. It's not in his pasture. Acts 20 verse 28, the same thing. He was speaking to the elders too. That's Paul, after he had finished ministry in Ephesus. He told them, take it therefore to yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost made over yourselves. So God refers to church people as flock. Are you getting the point? So you are his flock. And if you are his flock, then this is his pasture. Shout amen, somebody. Amen. And so, established, we are God's flock. So, if you are in church, you are his sheep. This is his pasture. If you are not in church, you are his sheep. That's if you are born again. But you are not in his pasture. Are you getting the point? Now, what that simply means is that there are certain things that should come to you that will not come. Because at the end of the day, God, the allocations will be made pasture by pasture. I want to think of that picture again. You have 10,000 sheep. And you put them, you create how many sheep pens now? Maybe you create 10 or 15 sheep pens in different places. So when you are bringing out food, you bring out food for pasture A, pasture B, you get the point, or sheepfold A, sheepfold B, sheepfold C, you just put it up like that. So any sheep that is not in that sheepfold, you have made provision for him, but he might not get it. And that's why it is very important, I'm saying it again, that you stay solid in a local church, your local church. But people that have a church that they belong to, right, they are not growing as they should, because they are not in the pasture of God where his provisions and allocations are made. Are you following me? I'm just saying basic foundation. Are you following me? So you notice it is in God's pasture that he delivers. For instance, if you're in his pasture, one of the things he ensures that anyone in his pasture gets is feeding. Feeding. I'll give you a few things that you find in God's pasture. Feeding. And feeding is not food. I mean, he feeds you. You must make sure he feeds you with the word. Look at what he told them in 1 Peter 5 verse 2. Peter told the elders, ensure you feed the flock of God. So God ensures that there is feeding taking place in every of his pasture. Feed the flock of God. And I said this when I was doing that shepherd, sheep and pasture series. And it's best repeating. The fact that all over the Bible, and even in agriculture, no sheep, at least no serious farmer, leaves his sheep to go and find food by itself. The assignment of feeding the sheep is on the shepherd. Which is why every sheep should belong or should stay where the shepherd can see him. Are you getting the point? You know, in Igbo language, sheep is and it's actually a word for insulting people. And I know I'm saying that. Sheep is atoro. See, it's going to make atoro. What does it mean? You are acting like someone that doesn't have sense. And that's actually the point. God refers to us as sheep. Understanding what that simply means is God thinks that we cannot be fine on our own. The sheep is only sensible when the shepherd is leading it. You hear what I said? The sheep is only... Have you ever seen sheep trying to cross main road? Once the first one have put head, even if a trailer is coming, they go... So they don't reason. So the only safety for the sheep is in the company of the shepherd. That is that if you leave the sheep to feed by itself, it can even take what it doesn't need and die. That's why God made sure that his sheep, as we are, that he provides what we need to feed in our pasture. So the man that doesn't belong to God's pasture is not being fed. He's missing his feeding. Because it's in the pasture that God tells the elders to feed. Acts 20 verse 28. Take ye therefore to the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost has made overseer, to feed the flock of God. To feed the flock of God. So it is God's assignment on the shepherd to make sure that we are fed in his pasture. So first I said, in his pasture that is feeding. And in case you don't know what the feeding is with the word of God. Jeremiah 3 verse 15, he said, I will give you pastors after my own heart, or shepherds after my own heart. We shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. So when I mean feeding, I'm talking about with the word of God. So the only place where your feeding is very well guaranteed, where we are sure you not eat poison, is if you are in God's pasture. Are you following the point? And I've explained this many times. That when you are not in God's pasture, and you are trying to feed, you will not grow as you should. You won't. And I can say that because there was a short time in my life when I didn't belong to any church. I follow him. But I was growing spiritually, but I wasn't going to church. Or so I thought. But when I paid attention to that season in my life, I found out I knew certain things very well because I read books and listened to teachings that interested me. You get the point? For instance, I was interested in new creation realities. So I was just packing books on those things. So when you see a believer who does not grow in the local church, but it's like he knows things, he'll be very deficient in some things. You might see him, maybe he likes teachings on prayer. So he will just go and download many teachings of prayer, ministry of prayer, how to pray, when you don't pray. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the way. He packs them. Nobody will teach him love work. I follow what I'm saying.
Nobody will teach him evangelism. Nobody will teach him character formation. Nobody will teach him certain things. And he begins to feel he's doing well because he's self-feeding. It is in the church of God, in God's pasture, that he makes sure that you ate beans in the morning. So this afternoon, you are going to eat garri. He makes sure. Because if we leave you, you kukuma don't like beans, you don't like garri, the only thing you like is chocolate. So if we leave you, you're just going to be taking chocolate, chocolate, chocolate. And that's how many people grow or think they're growing. Are you getting the point? Chocolate, chocolate. So is that sometimes your mommy is going to come and say, I wish I had this chocolate. In fact, from now to the next 3 weeks, no more chocolate in this house. You say, mommy, please, mommy, please say, my word is final. Because he has seen that the way you are eating. Are you getting what I'm saying? So self-feeding is not God's plan for the sheep. So he makes sure that the sheep is fed in the pasture. And that's simply to say that if you belong to a local church, God is made, one of the things he does is to make sure that you get fed. And that's what I'm going to say by digression, that if you're in a local church where you're not really being fed, you have to check if you're in God's pasture. Because I must be feeding with knowledge and understanding. Shout amen, somebody. The next thing you find, for instance, in God's pasture is protection. Protection. Psalm 23 and verse 4. Psalm 23 and verse 4. You know, he said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You know, even if I don't preach this and don't read it from the Bible, if a shepherd has a pen, it is his duty to make sure that wild animals don't come into this place. You get the point? He will make sure that they are not feeling cold. He will make sure that... Have you ever reared chickens here? You are the one that will organize the cage to make sure that some things don't come in. You want to make sure that, you know, there are some places where snakes go in to attack fowls. You have to make sure it doesn't happen there. So it is the job of the shepherd to give protection. Now think of a sheep or one of your chickens runs away out of the cage. You can't guarantee its safety. If it is too young, all these hawks can come carry it. And that's the danger of not being in a sheepfold. Anything can happen to you. And when I mean anything, I probably even get to danger of maybe accident or something. Even doctrinal accidents can happen to you. We are looking at it in the morning. You can have doctrinal accidents. Where you just find anything, your life can go in there because there is no protection. There is no protection. So he said, the Lord is my... He said, though I walk to the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So when you are going through a difficult season, the shepherd makes sure that you are kept fine. So sometimes the shepherd enters the sheepfold, or maybe the poultry, and I'm using poultry because some of us can relate better. And then you know how they do. How do you have red chickens here? Let me see. And I want to check again. Some of you have not. Oh wow. When you come in, one of the things you check every day when you come to check your fowls is this stool. You're observing this stool. If you find out that there is this color of stool you are seeing that you don't like, you begin to trace which of the chicken stool this rubbish. So you catch that one, not to kill it for Christmas. You now check, you now know how to administer medication. Why are you administering those things? Because you want to protect that chicken, but not only that, you want to protect the rest of the chicken. So that safety is found in that place. Are you following what I'm talking about? Ezekiel 34 verse 22. Ezekiel 34 verse 22. This teaching is actually not going, it's not actually what you're expecting. I'm just laying foundation. I've not started teaching actually. Amen. He said, therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey. I will judge between cattle and cattle and all of them. I'm coming to this very shortly. But he said, I will save my flock. I will save my flock. So God makes sure. Now, apart from doctrinal security that you enjoy in the local church, can I even tell you that there is even protection from certain evils if you're in the local church? So how does that work? You've read the story of Peter. How Peter was arrested and put in prison. It was the church that made sure that he came out with their prayers. that served as safety. Are you following what I'm saying? They went to pray, and Peter was out. There are many ways this place that even if you go away from the spiritual, even in the natural, read the book of Acts. When Paul got saved, they came after him to kill him in Damascus. It was the church that gathered together, put him in a basket, and let him down through the wall. That's safety. That only the local church can work out for you. Are you following me? Are you still here? So there is such, that's so safety you find in local church. That safety, that place of security and all of that. Another thing local church ensures or the God's pastor provides is provision. Now, this time, not knowledge and understanding, but like provision. The local church ensures that, you know, the things that you need, from money to everything, God ensures it gets to you through the local church. He says, sir, do they share money in church? Well, no. But there are other things that the church does to make sure that happens. For instance, there are teachings that can go on in the church to make sure that you do not lack. There are blessings that will come. There are prayers that will come. That's why Psalm 23 verse 1, he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In other words, if God is your shepherd and you are his pastor, you shouldn't be suffering lack. So can I say, if you've been in God's pasture for a very long time and you are still suffering lack, you have to pay attention to this teaching this evening. Because it means there is something you are missing. Because it is in God's order that in his pasture there will be supplies. Are you following me this evening? That will be provision. Are you getting the point? Because that is, it's not possible. Think about it. It's not possible for a shepherd, for me to build a sheepfold and not, it would be stupid of him to build a sheepfold and not give them what to eat every day. So when he gathers us in his fold like this, he makes sure that we have our needs provided for. If you read this verse with the New Living Translation, he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. Shout amen, somebody. I have all that I need. Glory to God. And in verse 2, it says, that's verse 2, next verse. I have all that I need. He maketh me to lie down. Give me an NLT. To lie down in still waters. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. You find that in the local church. Peaceful streams. And that's why in this service, if you have something against the church, before the end of the service, you're going to sort that matter out. You have to. Because this is your place of feeding. By this, I mean whatever local church you belong to is your place of feeding. Is your place where God is one of the easiest ways for God to reach you. For God to reach you. Are you following me? In Ezekiel 34 and verse 14, he says, I will feed them in a good pasture. And I can tell you, this is a good pasture. Are you getting the point? This is where? This church is a good pasture. Are you aware? If I tell you, believe me. This is a good pasture. Glory to God. So one of his promises, I will feed them in a good pasture. One of the things that God does for you once you come into him is to put you in a good pasture. Once you get born again, he locates a good pasture and puts you there. Now, if you don't find that pasture early, there's going to be a problem. That's what it means in Psalm 68 to say, he sets the solitary in families. So, he said, I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. Shout amen, somebody. Now, the next verse, he says, I will feed my flock and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away. I will bind that which was broken and strengthen that which was sick. He said, but I will destroy the fat and the strong. I'm coming to this. He said, I will feed them with judgment. I'm coming to this matter. Are you still here? So notice all these promises he's making. He said, I will gather them to a good pasture. Then I will begin to supply all of this. Which is why a good introduction for this message is to emphasize why you need a church and why you need to lie down in your church. Say amen. He maketh me to lie down in. So when you get, when you find your church, lie down there. If you lie down here, I'm going to do it. Lie down there. And that's figurative, right?
So I don't bring. I said, thank you, Pastor. I've been feeling sleepy. Just bring out your mat. He made me to lie down in green pastures. To lie down in green pastures. To lie down in green pastures. In other words, that when God brings you to a pasture, He wants you to relax. To lie down there. To know that you are home. So people are in their pasture, but are standing up. Walking up and down. Nothing is going to happen to you. You won't get it. Lie down in green pastures. You know another thing you find in the pasture that the shepherd does for the sheep is guidance. And this one is very important. Because like I already said, sheep used to misbehave. They used to act like they don't have sense. You can see a vehicle coming and go head to head against it. And that is why the job of the shepherd is to make sure that there is guidance for the sheep. John 10, verse 3. John 10 and verse 3. Hallelujah. Jesus already introduced himself as the good shepherd. He said, talking about the good shepherd, he said, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. He leads them out. He said, when he put forth his sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. So it's the job of the shepherd to lead the sheep. To lead the sheep. To lead the sheep. Which is why I can tell you, when you belong to a local church, under the right pasture, under the right shepherd, which we're going to look at very shortly, you find out that is a special kind of guidance that you enjoy. Apart from the leading of the spirit that you have in your heart, that shepherd that God gives you becomes a confirmation to that leading in your heart. What that means is that you can hardly miss it. Scratch that. You can't miss it. Because even when you are not hearing, he will hear for you. Yeah, that's the truth. You know, one of the, because with the meeting we went for last week, my dad's church, is their homecoming, just like our national conference now, our Zoe conference rather. So people came from different places, outside the country and all of that. Some of the members that were in UK, Canada, all of that, they came back. And, you know, the funny thing is, the pastor in charge of, I think, one of the branches in the UK, he was around. And he was sharing how they actually traveled abroad. They were not thinking about it. You know, I mentioned this in the day. That when God wants to, that God wants to speak to you about something very serious in your life, maybe to change an information he has given you before, there are only two ways he can do that. Do you remember that? Why under the day? There are only two ways he can do that. What it means is, if God tells Pastor Tony to go right, and then wants to wake up tomorrow to tell him to go left because he has completed his journey right, there are only two ways Pastor Tony will know. One is either he tells Pastor Tony himself as God, or he sends his spiritual father to tell him. These are the only two ways. So that you don't mix it up. That was the problem with that young prophet in 1 Kings 13. The Lord told him, don't do this. And then a strange prophet from nowhere came around to tell him, you know what? Just go and do it. And he said, okay. I gave an example in the morning or in the afternoon. I said, if your biological father traveled, before he traveled, he told you, you see this piece of land that we have here? On no account should you sell it. I get what I'm saying. Now, if he wants to come and tell you, I've changed my mind for us to sell it, he has to come in two ways. Either he comes himself, I feel what I'm talking about, to tell you can now sell it. Now, if he's going to send someone, he won't send a stranger. He has to send someone that you know, and both of you know that you know. Yes. Which is why God will not lead you through strange voices. He won't. So what led me to that is the fact that this young man that is pastoring one of the churches in the UK had no plans of traveling abroad. It was my dad that called the one that said, I wanted to go and pray about traveling to the UK. You and your family. Are you getting the point? Yeah. I'm talking about that. It's such guidance in the local church. And he went and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. I came back and said, okay. For months after prayer, he said yes, that he feels they should go. And they began the process. And the testimony he was sharing was when they got to a point in the process, everything got stuck. So after one service, dad just asked him, he said, what's happening? He said, we are stuck at this point. He said, come, call your wife. Put this on them. The next day, everything started pulling through again. He's doing strong ministry over there in the UK. all of that came, 3 minutes at least, and I'm working too, right? Working, schooling, living a good life. And all of that came because the shepherd in the church, he didn't pick it. I get the point. And he will never pick it. What's wrong with the way you like Nigeria? You can never pick. That you have to travel. Say amen. But look at that story I told you. Even when my dad told him, my dad still has to tell him to go and pray and confirm. Right? Go and pray and be sure. But that's one of the things you find in the local church. That when you are deaf, deaf is figurative. When you are not hearing, somebody can hear for you. So think about this. Have you ever thought of this? There are stories I don't want to tell you yet. So I'll be telling other stories that did not happen here. Because if I tell the story, some of them are too recent. You will use your mind to calculate, so let me not tell the story. But there are people that have gotten married in some places, and it was just through the leading of a father by the Holy Ghost. Do you understand? My pastor will always tell you, he will not choose wife for you or husband for you. But he can call you and ask you that golden question, have you considered my servant, Job? Because sometimes you are blind, you are not seeing. He said, what do you think about this sister? And there are a few persons that I know that are married in the church, in that church, and that was how we came. What do you think about this sister? He said, no, just go and pray. Go take your time. Some of them after 6 months, some of them after 8 months, some of them after 1 year. Because it's not like pressure or manipulation. You get the point? It's not like telling the sister, well, I'll find a husband for you. They come back and say, I think we are good. And many good families are coming out. Sometimes you won't see. I get the point. So apart from the fact that the pastor, the shepherd, confirms God's leading in your heart, sometimes he can even not lead you, but start the process off. You will now find it. Are you following what I'm saying? He can start it off and you now find it. There are some people that are doing businesses, and the business they are doing, I was one that mentioned it to them in our conversation. Why don't you think about this and think about it? They say, They now can pray and come back and say, when I prayed, it was a yes in my spirit. Now, that's not what any strange prophet can meet you on the road and tell you. You're going to start business. Are you getting the point? Are you following me? Because they don't even know your level. Maybe that day you dress very well. They just rate you that you have like 100 million in your account. Then I said, why don't you think of importing electronics? You will now smile. I said, the Lord will do it. Glory to God. So there is guidance. He said, there is the rod and the staff. In Psalm 23. The rod and thy staff. And I always like explaining this way. He said, if I walk through the valley of shadow of death, thy rod and thy staff, they are there. The rod is for correction. The staff is for guidance. Because you wander the way, we will correct you. But we're going to guide you back. Praise God. So it's important. So one major reason people don't get the best in their Christian work is that some of them don't have any pastor. Or they have a pastor they're not lying down in. They're wandering about. The Bible says, they that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the court of our God. Psalm 92, I think verse 13. They that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Are you following me? If I give you the previous verse, I want to show you something. That's verse 12. Psalm 92. Glory to God. He said, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. Now that one is fact. The righteous. You are born again. You shall flourish. It brings you to a level of flourishing. You shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. That's beautiful. But then he takes the step further in verse 13 and now said, but those that are planted, are you getting the point? They will flourish in the courts of our God. So it's not just about what the righteous enjoys. Such a thing has been planted. So when you get to the pasture God has for you, you've got to lie down. You've got to lie down. You've got to relax. Don't look for what is not. Some people are home, but they are still looking for home. They are still walking up and down. They've entered the pasture that God created for them, but they are still not relaxed. And that's why they're not getting the best. So when food is being served, he's walking up and down. By the time he comes back, they finish serving food. If you ever come for a cab meeting and this thing happened to you, you will feel very bad. Go for a cab meeting and they're sharing food. And you just stepped out to pick a few things. You come back, they say food has finished. And you have to wait for night food. Or God help you, that was night food that finished. You have to wait till the next day. Just learn to lie down and relax. Let me tell you something. God is wise. I say this sometimes. Some people feel I'm just talking. I don't think there's anything that you will need in your Christian journey that will not be supplied here. Now, don't hear what I didn't say. No, I didn't say I will be able to supply everything you need. That's not what I said. But the local church is a structure. Now, if there is something that we need here, and for now, for some reason, I'm never able to supply it, what the Lord will begin to do is to begin to put it in the heart of the pastor to invite a guest minister. Bring a guest minister. Because nobody in the body of Christ can supply everything, actually. That's why, you know, bringing guests is not actually wrong, right? I've not invited guests for some time. But I'm even telling you up front, by next year, there will be guest ministers in this church. Up front. It will not be going like that. Because God has released us to do that. Ministry is by divine leading. And I'm already writing some names that the Lord is showing me. Say, you're going to bring this one, bring that one, bring that one. Are you following me? When that time comes, I'll see you do a special teaching to explain some things to you. Because sometimes we bring guests, not because they are very accurate as we are in everything we believe. We bring them sometimes to come and supply a particular thing and go. So that's why one of the wisdom of God, if you're in a local church and your church invites a lot of guests, one of the things you should not do is to run after the guests or to think that your pastor inviting that guest is him validating everything the guest stands for. You will run into trouble. I get to the point. I can bring a man of God now who doesn't really believe strongly in eternal salvation. But he has, maybe he's grounded in the word of faith. I can bring the best guest to come and teach us faith and impart that spirit. Now, what you cannot do is after the meeting, you're not going to start running after them. Say, I got this message. Nobody sent you. What you need, that's why the pasture is the place of feeding. Stay in the pasture, the feeding will come and meet you there. Are you getting the point? There are two kinds of fowl. You know the kind of fowls in Africa? Praise God. You know, one day I used this analogy and somebody told me, the local fowl is stronger than the agri fowl. I said, well, maybe it's true. I said, but don't you realize it's stronger than the agri fowl because we don't actually let the agri fowl stay long. In 6 months, agri fowl has got to that size. The local fowl has been walking up and down. Exposed to many dangers. Eating everything. Some Christians are local fowls. They source their food by themselves. Scramble the ground for their own food. Some other people are the agri-fowl who are just in their pasture and the guy that are bringing things for them. Oh, they come in and the place is too cold. They bring electric bulb for them and they are warm. But you know the local fowl? He just finds his own way by himself. I'll be a local fowl. Amen. Glory to God. So I'm just trying to show you, when I said everything you need will be supplied in your pasture, I'm not saying your pastor will be able to supply everything. There are chances that there are certain things that God wants to do in a local church that the pastor cannot supply. That's the wisdom of God for guest ministers. Philip began a work in Samaria. He had to send for Peter and John to come and supply. Right? Yes. That is that wisdom. There is that wisdom. But it doesn't mean that you now begin to walk up and down looking for what is not lost. Say, I'm looking for power. I follow this man of God because he teaches discipline. So I want to learn discipline from him. And this other man of God, I follow him because he teaches power. I want to get power. I like my pastor. I follow my pastor. But he doesn't teach power the way this one teaches power. So I want to be learning power from that one. Then be learning spirit moves. You're going to get confused. Take it from me. What you've not realized, which you still realize. You see, no two men of God are the same. He said that no two men of, even if they are raised by the same pastor, are not the same. Which is why in this church and in every local church, the reason I insist, and many good pastors will insist, that the branch pastors will preach exactly the message of the lead pastor, is because if you allow those branch pastors to develop their things by themselves, the whole church, the churches will look different. The only way we can be sure that the church in Sokoto or in Maiduguri is the same church in Enugu is if they're feeding with the same diet. No two pastors, no two men of God have the same dealings and process with God. I get the point. And then their process, no matter how perfect they are, their process and their manner of life will impact the way they do ministry. It will. So when you keep moving up and down, you end up a confused person. A confused person. How many of you know, for instance, that Archbishop Idahosa, as much as I respect him, great man of God, best to come from this country so far. Amen. He says that you will be greater than him. I don't want. I don't want. It's not an ambition. Do you get what I'm saying? There's some things you stop trying to make your ambition. Don't put ER before anything. Don't say I'll be greater, better, bigger than anybody. You're going to get into trouble. And of all people, Idahosa. What should matter to you is that you just fulfill your own assignment upon the earth. Right? Do the will of God for generation. Well, that's by the way, I just mentioned him. Great man of God. But do people know he doesn't do power move for people to fall down? Yes, he doesn't believe in it. Say, why are you falling? He will ask. Say, stand. You're a new man in Christ. Stand. Don't fall. Now, reasoning, how come? But that's the wisdom of God for the people that God puts to lead. That's a digression. To lead set men. There are many people that came out from him that you know, Shabbat Echo doesn't also do that. Have you ever seen him come to a meeting and say, take it? You won't see it. But Dr. Paul Eneche does that. Pastor Ipiome does that. They don't stop them. He doesn't stop them. So even though Dunamis pastor is submitted to Living Faith Chapel, they are not the same church. Are you getting what I'm saying now? They are not the same church. In any way. Are you following me, friends? Not the same church. So all these jumping around, I say, I'll take from the game. You are going to be a confused person. So imagine you go to the service and man of God, they say, why are you falling down? Why are you falling down? Why are you falling down? Stand and receive. And you say, yes, I got it. The next day, your pastor comes to church and says, release yourself to the Holy Ghost. Why are you holding back? Why are you holding yourself back? Open to the Holy Ghost and take it. Which one are you going to do? I get the point. So, no two churches. Now, there are different reasons people believe. Now, I do power move. A lot. Can I have a son in ministry tomorrow who doesn't do that? It's his business. His business. And I'm not going to stop him. I will not tell him, why don't people follow your ministry? I'm not going to tell him that. I'll just let it be. And that's why you notice when Pastor Paul Eneche and Co preaches in Living Faith Chapel, they don't push, nobody falls. I've not observed. You just preach and carry the Bible and go. Are you following me, friends? So I'm teaching something. It's not about, so God sets pasture and you must find your sheepfold and lie down there. Note that even if say, people say, that's a grace church. That's a grace church. I don't know what you mean by that. That's a grace church. So can't I move from one grace church to another grace church? If you ever change church in your life, you will know that no two churches are the same. If you ever change church once in your life, they are not the same. What they believe, what they emphasize. He said, but why? Is it not the same Holy Spirit? It is. Imagine a man has a big poultry. But this fowl is cockerel. This one is agric. This one is layers. They won't take the same feed. They won't be raised the same way. So even though all of us are sheep of God, we are raised differently. And God has his wisdom in doing that. I get what I'm thinking about. Let them not carry a grief or anger and put inside layers and be feeding it with layer stuff, expecting that it will lay egg. Are you getting my analogy this evening? So it's not as though church is confused. Why are they not all the same? It's not meant to be the same. It's the same Holy Ghost inspiring, but there are different dealings. And sometimes God does those things because He knows where we are going to and where we are eventually going to in life. He knows where to pass you through and who to pass you under. He knows what the future looks like. That's why one of the things God has blessed me is I'm very content with my spiritual father. Very, very content. I don't need nothing that your pastor is offering you. Sincerely. I don't need nothing. You know, when I was talking to my pastor, that was a few years ago, he was planning a meeting. And he was telling me that, oh, this kind of meeting coming up, that he's not inviting anybody. He just came up with a conversation. Because he was trying to admonish me about something. You know, he was talking about inviting guests, that I shouldn't hurry up to that. Even in this next campus, I'm not inviting anybody. Me, I now laughed. I said, ah, Dad, you know the truth of the matter. And this is not a situation. I still told Mom this thing, this last meeting we went for. I celebrated all the men of God that come there. All of them that are invited. But I come to hear him. My note is fullest when he's preaching. Isn't it like fullest? Yes. Now, all the men of God are coming. He respects them. One of them are senior to him in the ministry. And he honors them. And I honor them too. Do you understand what I'm saying? But I'm content with my pastor. Very, very content too. Very, very content. Because he makes me to lie down. So when you find your pastor, lie down. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So you must be able to discern the sheepfold properly, the pasture properly. That's actually what I want to show you. There are, in this pasture, there are different personalities that you find in the pasture. And that you must relate and interact with them differently so you can get the best of what the pasture has to offer. So by this pasture, I mean church. There are different personalities to find in the church. In a pasture. So the first personality, we're going to be looking at the Bible and all of that. The first is called the chief shepherd. In every pasture, you are going to find the chief shepherd. Jesus said he's the chief shepherd or the good shepherd. In 1 Peter 5 verse 4, Peter told them that when the chief shepherd appears, so that is the chief shepherd, of course this is Jesus. What I'm trying to show you is there are different personalities in the pasture. How you relate with each of them will determine how well you will benefit from the pasture. Now, this is very important too. How you relate with each of them. So that is the chief shepherd, which is Jesus himself. How do you relate to Jesus, for instance? You must know him. You must follow him. You must submit to him. You must, he's the okakpatakpata. He's the leader. You get the point? Leader is not the word. He's the owner of the pasture. He can open the pasture and close it down. So you must know him. You must follow him. You must learn of him. John 10 verse 1. Jesus introduces that passage by saying, I am the good shepherd. Verse 1, he said, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way. The same is a thief and a robber. But he that entered by the door is the shepherd of the sheep and all of that. And then, by the time he got to verse 7, he said, I saw unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves. Right? And then in verse 11, he said, I am the good shepherd. And he explained the fact that he is the shepherd. Jesus is not a shepherd. He is the shepherd. Like the shepherd. The pen belongs to him. Are you following the point? So you must know how to relate. That's why if you do not know this one, if you do not know this person, like know him. By knowing him now, I'm talking about salvation. If you do not know him, you are not a part of the sheepfold. If you like, be coming to the church every day. That's why you must know. I get what I'm saying. You must have a personal relationship with that one. So he's not the kind of shepherd that has a very big farm, but he doesn't know all the sheep one by one. He knows, he wants to know you one by one before you belong to the sheep. So you must have a personal walk with him. That's why it's good to mention that what God is doing in the local church should not replace
your personal walk with the chief shepherd. Are you following me, friends? As powerful and important as the local church is, you shouldn't replace your walk with the chief shepherd. In fact, it is when you meet this chief shepherd that he can now lead you to your own particular pasture that he has designed for you. So if you don't have a flow with the chief shepherd, you are possibly not part of the pasture. Is someone learning something? So that is the chief shepherd. You must have a flow with him. You must have a relationship, a solid relationship with him. Which starts obviously by faith, believing in him, and then progresses to other things that follow. Working with him, learning of him, reading his word, learning to hear from him, and all of that. So that is the chief shepherd. Amen. Then, there is, because of our time, maybe tomorrow I will explain this things further. There is the caretaker shepherd. That is the caretaker shepherd. Chief shepherd, caretaker shepherd. Now, this caretaker shepherd now, of course, refers to your pastor. I've explained again. The chief shepherd has over 100,000 sheep. And he cannot keep all of them in the same place. So he provides small pens of 200, of 300 capacity. And then he puts caretaker shepherds in all of them. It's good I added this caretaker so that you realize that he's not the owner of the sheepfold. He's not the owner of the pasture. Just that he's the one taking care of it. So in Jeremiah 3 verse 15, he said, I will give you shepherd or pastor of my land. Who was talking? The chief shepherd. That's what I'm saying. It was the chief shepherd now telling the flock, I will give you. So it is one of the things the chief shepherd does is to make sure that every sheep gets their own caretaker shepherd. Every sheep gets their own. Says what he said is, I'll give you pastors. It's the same word for pastor and shepherd. Give me like another translation. NLT said, I'll give you shepherds. It's the same word. The root word for pastor and for shepherd is the same thing. Both in the old, even in Hebrew and in Greek, same thing. Are you following me? So I will give you, so it's the caretaker shepherd. That's the pastor. The Greek is the poimen. Poimen is shepherd. Are you following me? So we can actually, that poimen is shepherd, poimen is pastor. So this is the chief shepherd. We can call him also the chief pastor. It's the same word. So you see Peter writing to the elders, which I'm going to talk to the elders tomorrow. But I'm going to teach, because I'll still continue with this teaching. But it will take a different turn. He told the elders, make sure you feed the flock of God. That's 1 Peter chapter 5, which is among you. It's instructed on what to do in verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, and in verse 4, announces so that when the chief shepherd appears, because the caretaker shepherds will give account to the chief shepherd. And it's not supposed to be strange to you. If you are the owner of that farm I'm talking about, maybe you are the chief shepherd now, and you have different sheepfolds in different places, you must have an accounting system, shouldn't you? Where they report to you every month that, okay, there were 100 sheep last month, 30 gave birth. So they're now 130. I feel what I'm saying. Look at that condition. 3 is sick. 4, that's account. And he will require that account from every caretaker shepherd. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So, the caretaker shepherd. And there is a way to relate with this one. Which I don't know if I have time to look at it. But there's a way to relate with this particular caretaker shepherd. This is why you must, for instance, to start with, I'll tell you like 4 things. You're going to get the best out of this caretaker shepherd. Because what I'm trying to show you, I'm emphasizing again, is that many people in the pasture don't get blessed because they don't know how to relate to the different personalities in that pasture. And as we progress, it gets more intense. Because many of you are still enjoying this. You say, by the time we get there, you find out that there are other devils inside the sheepfold too. Inside the pasture. So, first is to relate with this caretaker shepherd. First, start by knowing him. Know your own shepherd. That's where we start from. Know your own shepherd. Because there are many caretaker shepherds, but you must know your own. I won't say much, I've emphasized that a lot. Know your own. Your own. So who is your caretaker shepherd? Who is the shepherd that God has sent to take care of you? Who is the shepherd that the chief shepherd that seems to take care of you? Or you are just a floating believer? So Paul wrote to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 4 verse 15. He told them, you might have 10,000 instructors. He said, but you have only one father. He told them, I became your father. I'm the one that is your father. It's just like him saying, let me play with those words. It's like him saying, you might have many people walking inside this pasture. But remember, I am the only shepherd here. Do you understand what I said now? Yes. So he makes it very clear. So if Paul has to tell them, I'm your father. You know why it's better that he says that? They have to know. Because everything you're going to get from the shepherd starts from you recognizing that this one is my shepherd. Exodus 7 verse 1. Exodus 7 verse 1. So start by knowing your shepherd. The Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh. And Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. So Moses was the shepherd that handled the church. He said, is it a church? Yes, the Hebrew calls them the church in the wilderness. Is it Hebrew? Acts. So Moses was the shepherd. Look at how he told. He said, you are the God to Pharaoh. Moses is, Aaron is your prophet. What that means is, Aaron, hear this. Aaron, I will explain this further tomorrow, does not have a ministry towards Israel. He has a ministry towards Moses. So the way Moses stands before the Lord and hears, he passes to Aaron, and Aaron passes to people. That's what the branch pastors are. That's what the team leads are. That's what, I get what I'm talking about. So God will always place one caretaker shepherd in every sheepfold. One. Remember how I started with you? He doesn't call a committee. He must start with one person. One caretaker shepherd in every pasture. So in this Israel saga, Moses was the one. But there were others. There was Aaron. Later he had to appoint another 70. But he was the one. So it's good to mention. So you must know your own. Who is your shepherd? I get the point. Who is your caretaker shepherd? And it's good to find this early. Because tomorrow, like I've promised, I'll be teaching on how to relocate. You've realized that every human being on earth is going to relocate like 3-4 times in his lifetime. You just don't know. Many people. Some of you have done 2-3. And many people choose their pastors and their shepherds by their location. Now, if that is true, it means in one lifetime, I have up to 5. But every time you change cities, a new shepherd. Are you following the point? But it's not meant to be. It's not meant to be. So you must know your own shepherd. Then of course, the second thing is be submitted. Stay in submission. Stay in submission. That's how you'll be blessed. Because what the chief shepherd wants to do to you, he will pass it on to you through the caretaker shepherd. So you must stay in submission. Hebrews 13 verse 17. He said, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. So obey them. Now, why do you need to obey them and submit yourself to them? Finish it. Because they will give accounts that they may do it with joy, not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. He's saying if you don't submit yourself to your pastor, he will not do the work joyfully. And guess who suffers? You. Say it will be unprofitable for you. So you are the one that suffers when you don't act in submission. People think that submission does the pastor good. No. Submission does you good. Look at the Bible. Because what submission does is that it positions you to receive whatever. So if you do not position and you do not receive, the pastor lost nothing. You are the one that lost something. Are you following what I'm saying? So you must stay in submission. Very important. You must stay in submission. Number 3, you must follow well. Follow well. Follow very, very well. Jesus said in John chapter 10, he said, my sheep know my voice and they follow me. Every sheep must know the voice of the shepherd and follow. And follow well. There is a way to follow a man. I don't have time to look at all of that today. I'm just rushing through this. There's a way to follow your shepherd. Like properly. Now when we say let's go, you should go with us. What's not to follow? Some people are around but they are not following. I heard this from a man of God. I like this and I'm going to put it in my own words. Let me say this. Don't just be in traffic. Be be in a convoy. You know, the fact that all cars are lined up doesn't mean it's a convoy. Some it is traffic. Are you following me? You know what a convoy is? That there is a lead car in front and all of us are turning wherever the other car turns. So people are in church, but they're in traffic. They're just waiting for the traffic light to move for them to continue their own destination. They're just waiting for them to get a big job to change direction. They're waiting for them to leave the city to change direction. That's not following. So the fact that cars are lined up behind does not mean... In fact, there are three times you see some when cars are lined up and moving together. Some are in convoy, which is the right one for you. Then some are just in traffic. They're just blocking their way. Then others are competing with you. They want to overtake you. Beep, 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 beep. That's how to do ministry. You must follow. Be in convoy. When in a convoy, if they turn right, you turn right. Turn left, you turn left. If they park, if you've seen a proper convoy, if the first car parks, everything parks. That's how to follow. It's not traffic. Are you following me, friends? It's not traffic. So follow well. And like I told you in the day, there might be a few things you will not understand. Remember that example I gave in the day? There will be a few things. Scratch that. There will be many things you don't understand as you follow a man. Many things. In fact, from what I've observed, many people that follow people, the people they follow don't make it easy for them to be followed. You know, when Elijah met Elisha and put that cloak on him, Elisha came to him and said, "Sir, I will follow you, but please let me just go and tidy things up." He said, "Did I beg you? What am I to do with you? It's your business." Can you imagine that kind of talk? But it's about how you follow. Is it strange that it was Elisha that got whatever Elijah had? No, it wasn't strange. He was following very well. In fact, if you see how he referred to Elijah, you will know. Every of the prophets that met him in Bethel, all those 50 company of 50 prophets that met him, that kept telling him, "Do you know the Lord will take away your..." They kept telling him, "Do you know the Lord will take away your master today?" So to all of them, all of them are in the same school of prophets, but Elijah was a master to them. But when the whirlwind came, what Elisha started was, "My father, my father." To Elisha, Elijah was father. To them, he was master. And inheritance does not go from master to servant. It goes from father to sons. Is someone following me today? So how you follow determines how things come to you. How you follow determines how things will come to you. So obey the instruction. Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1. He said, "Imitate me." King James said, "Be followers of me." Very clearly. Paul did not say, follow the Lord. He said, "No, follow me as I follow the Lord." That's what he's saying. That should be a convoy. So when your pastor's car, this is not literal, when your pastor's car is moving in front, your own car should be behind. Not because of traffic or in competition, it's just to follow where else are we turning to. That's why when you see a believer that is well-trained and knows how to follow, he knows that when God tells his pastor we are turning right, it means all of us are turning right. That's how to follow. Do you realize the Israelites in the wilderness did not know the way to Canaan? Like, they had never left Egypt. How many years did they stay in that captivity? How many years? Guess. It's in the Bible. 400 years. What it means is that the people that entered Egypt had died. Other people have died. Others have died. So this generation has never left Egypt in their life. The only person that knew the way was Moses. So it's where he says, "Let's turn right," and they turn right. Are you following what I'm talking about? So you must follow well. That's why you can't be following a pastor and you are competing with him. You can't be following a pastor and your heart is not right.
You must get your heart right. If not, you see, many things will not come to you. Will not come to you. I want to emphasize this. Don't follow with a bad heart. Don't follow with a bad heart. If for any reason you get offended in following a man, settle that matter very quickly. Because you are fighting with your provision, fighting with your food, fighting with your protection, fighting with everything, because everything God will pass to you, he will pass through that man. That's the man you are angry with. And please, that admonition I gave you in the morning is very important. Go and study it again. Look at how Mary and Martha handled Jesus' delay. Very, very instructive. There are people that get angry over petty things. Look at how they handled Jesus' delay. They told Jesus that Lazarus was sick. Instead of Jesus to run towards them, he stayed back for 2 extra days. And did not show up till he died. He didn't even show up on the first day he died. He came 4 days after. And it looked a bit insensitive to me. Don't you think so? But when he came, I expected Mary and Martha to arrive and say, "Oh, you have come. Don't talk to me. Just be doing your own. Just be doing your own. You've done your worst now. He's dead. Come and eat his meat." Immediately, Martha heard. She got up and ran to Jesus and said something to him. Said, "If you had been here, you wouldn't have died." Immediately, Mary heard. Mary heard. Jesus was still very far. She jumped up and ran to him. She didn't run away. She didn't say, "This man that said that my brother was sick, my only brother, you call yourself a man of God, and my brother was sick. Just show up. I know you have the power. It's not like you don't have the power. You have the power." And let's face fact, Jesus that speaks in Jerusalem and it happens in Capernaum. Why didn't he speak a word when he told him my brother was sick? Is it so hard to speak a word? Do you know when they came, they were not offended? They didn't like the whole situation. When they spoke, they wished he came earlier. Look at it, if he had been here, he wouldn't have died. But it's okay. You are welcome, sir. He now told them he will rise again. They said, in the resurrection morning, we will see him. They're saying, don't leave this matter. You didn't come. It's okay. So even if Jesus didn't raise Lazarus, they were still in honor. Are you following what I'm saying this evening? That's how to follow. Some people want to tell you how. Some pastors, some members want to tell you how to pastor them. If you tell your pastor how to pastor you and he pastors you that way, you are no longer being pastored. You are now pastoring yourself. And let me tell you what you are doing. You are practicing witchcraft. Witchcraft seeks to control. Now, witchcraft, I'm not talking about people that appear in the night and do. In Galatians 5, witchcraft is listed as a work of the flesh. I get the point. Where people try to control, try to manipulate, all of that. You're not following well. And many things will not come to you. It's as simple as that. Many things will not come to you. Because even you can pretend to follow well. But the anointing is intelligent. You know, you still look at that. It's very intelligent too. So you can deceive the man. You can't deceive the anointing. So follow well. One man followed one man and got a double portion of the man's grace. Another man followed another man and got leprosy. Talk about Elisha and Gehazi. Are you following me? He got what? So follow well. Then I'm going to say honor him. Honor him. What is honor? Honor. All forms of honor. 1 Timothy 5 and 17. Count him of double honor. Honor him. A man you do not honor, you cannot receive from. I won't even say much about that. Honor, financial honor, every kind of honor. Honor him. Keep your heart in honor. Everything will not be alright, but keep your heart in honor. Walk in honor. Proper honor. Do you understand? That's how to relate to you. So we're looking at the second guy. That's the caretaker shepherd. You find him in the pasture. So what I'm saying in summary is,
There is a way to relate with God. There's a way to relate with your pastor in the pasture if you are going to get blessed. So if you are in this pasture and you don't relate well with your pastor, you're not going to get blessed. Amen. The next personality you find here now is the wolves. It says, are wolves inside God's pasture? Yes. Acts 20 verse 29. Everybody gets it. Let's read together. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you guys ready? Go to verse 28 so you can get the flow. Let's go together. And to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers to feed the church of God which he had purchased. So, next verse. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Verse 30. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after. So you need to know that in the sheepfold there will be wolves. These wolves are those people that are in church. They are in church. Paul told them, say, there are of your own men, of your own selves. They will be part of you people. But they will arise. And in my note, I noted, I said, they try to distort the teachings and try to mess things up. They try to do their own things. They are not sheep, but they are in the sheepfold. You can't tell them what to do. The pastor can't give instruction and they follow it. They're on their own. They are the wolves. They have their own ideas. They have their own revelation. He said, what pastor was saying, it makes sense, yeah. But, touch your neighbor, say, don't be a wolf. Stop speaking like that. What do you mean? You trying to don't be a wolf. Tell him, don't be a wolf. Don't be a wolf. Yes. Hallelujah. But you know, the problem is, have you ever seen a wolf before? What does a wolf look like? You must see it in movies. What does it look like? I think wolf is dog family. Yes. Then that is the sheep. Do they look alike? Eh? Not exactly. Not exactly. So how come the sheep? I think it should be easy for the sheep to know the wolf. Jesus told us in Mark 7 verse 15 that they will be wolves, but they will be in sheep clothing. They will wear like the sheep. And you won't know. Now that's why, as you interact with people in the local church, there are people that the Bible teaches you don't actually keep very close to yourself. If someone is acting in a wolf-like manner, someone is just talking, anything they do, it doesn't follow instruction. He said, I have my own thing. You may do your own, I'll do my own. The Bible, I'll show you in the Bible, says to mark them and avoid them. Romans 16 verse 17, please. Because of our time. The wolf. Romans 16 verse 17. He said, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Verse 18, avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. But by good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. Because there are sheep that are actually very simple at heart. They just come into the church, they are happy. Everybody just believe, everybody just growing. They're just happy. Now, don't be that simple, though. Now, sir, should we get suspicious? No. It's not about suspicion. You will know. Somebody's around you, and every instruction they give, he doesn't obey it. He tries to put it. He says, no, I'm not on, but I'll do my own thing. No, be good. Tell me, watch, mark that person, avoid the person. Because Paul wasn't writing this in verse 17. Look at that. Verse 17. I would mark them which go to the son and contrary to which I've learned. So avoid them. So it's not saying people outside. I mean the doctrine that you've learned in the church. Mark them. Will seek not to follow it. Stay away from them. They are the wolves. The problem is that the sheep doesn't know the wolf. Many sheep don't know the wolf. So they begin to interact with the wolf and play with the wolf. Wolf, my friend. I'll be thinking before you know that they're devoured. They're caught up in a nest. I'll talk to the pastor and settlement tomorrow. One of the major duties of a settlement and a pastor in the church is to point out the wolf for the sheep. And I'm doing it by this teaching I'm doing. And there are cases where it's not even a teaching. In this place, it was a teaching. But I'll just show you places in the Bible where Paul didn't do it as a teaching. He called names and told Timothy, this person, avoid them. One of the major duties, because you see, this is sheepfold, it gathers many people. Some change from wolf to proper sheep. Some go from sheep to wolf. So you must mark. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. If you're a pastor here, you're a cell leader, you're a team lead, take that tomorrow session very seriously. One of your major duties is to point out. I said, let me show you. 3 John verse 9. Or maybe from verse 8. 3 John from verse 8. Verse 8. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow. You know what he was talking about here? John was talking to his son, right? His disciple, about how to receive guest ministers, traveling ministers. And he explained that when they come, open your door to them, they are fellow helpers of the truth. After he spoke in verse 9, he now said, I wrote unto the church. So he has told the church about it. But Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among us, respect us not. You see, these people, they want to be important. Give me like NLT. I wrote to the church about this. But Diotrephes, who loves to be the leader, refuses to have anything to do with it. He just wants to have their way. I don't agree with that thing John is teaching. I don't agree with it. They are also related to Korah. You are here in the morning, right? So watch. You know, I heard a man of God, and it was Pastor Chris Onoinka sharing this story. There was a time he worshipped under Pastor Chris Oyekilome. That time he was in Christ Embassy at the time. He said that one day, Pastor Chris stood up and gave somebody a very sharp rebuke. Very sharp rebuke. You know, Pastor Chris looks very soft. Don't play. Don't play. I'm just telling you. And he said, when they finished, they came back home. And this brother asked him, what do you think about that correction that pastor did? And he said, I have nothing to think. He said, don't you think you should have done that? He said, stand up. Walk. He walked the guy out of his house. Shut up. He said, well, I just having a conversation. Don't converse with me. Yes. And these are things that, because what one says, well, he should have corrected him in secret. But there is a way. You know, the Bible even said, you should not rebuke an elder publicly. The Bible didn't say that too. He said, why would he even say it? So why was he doing it like that? Me, I'm not saying correction is wrong, go. Me, I'm not saying we have to be, everybody's human. Nobody, you see, you're analyzing. That's how wolves talk. They are in sheep clothing. You know why they're in sheep clothing? If they come direct and say, I don't like pastor, you will note them. You will note them and then shift. You get the point? If they come out and say, I don't agree with all these guys that are teaching here, you will say, ah. But they will just come and say, what they're saying is true. It's just that. It's just that. You know what they're doing? They're throwing seeds in your heart. That's how wolves used to behave. They're in sheep clothing. It is the duty of the sheep, as much as they can, to identify. So if you read throughout the epistles, Paul kept telling the guys, after he's done teaching, he will tell them, mark people who are going against the instruction and stay away from them. He said it many times. He told the Thessalonian church, he said, people that are going against this, we've taught. There was a time he taught that if you don't walk, you should not eat. When he finished talking, he said, mark people who are going against this and avoid them. People who want to say, I don't know what pastor is saying. For instance, in 3 John, what was it that John said that was tough? That these traveling ministers, missionaries, that when they come around the church, we should receive them and care for them. But there are three fees. And John said his problem is that he likes to have the preeminence. He likes leadership. So, because they are like that, anything you say, they must have their butts to it. Well, it's right though. But I'm also thinking. Amen. And if you're offended by this teaching, then maybe you have to repent. It's hurting you because I'm speaking by word of knowledge what you are doing. Where you follow well. Don't be a wolf in sheep clothing. So Paul, before he left Ephesus, he told them. Now, this is why I'm not going to say much about this wolf thing until tomorrow. Because this instruction is not really for the members. It's for the pastors, actually. It's for the leaders. Because most places where the wolves were talked about, it is the leaders being addressed. Even in that place we read earlier, Paul was telling the leaders that when I go, wolves are going to rise. Do you know the sentence you must be able to know? Who is spoiling things? Who is the one making sure nobody listens? Some of them are even leaders. And if a leader is a wolf, remove the person as a leader. Remove the person. And I'm going to tell you this plainly before I proceed. Don't be a wolf. Yes. Don't be a wolf. Don't be the one trying to devour other sheep. Well, let's just proceed. So there is the wolf, then there is the hireling. That is the hireling. Now, how do you relate with these wolves, like I showed you? Avoid them. Avoid them. Avoid doesn't mean just stay away. When they come with that conversation, say, I'm not actually up for that conversation. Pastors tell of us should do this and do this. Say, well, that's pastor. Because he doesn't know what all of us are passing through. He doesn't know where we are coming from. I don't blame him now. Is that better for him? Does he know what happened? I don't have no problem against him. I have no problem against him. I'm just saying that we should consider some of us are not up to his level. Yes. Amen. Now somebody told one of my members here, all this instruction that pastor is giving people, does he do it? I'm telling you. Does he do it? Don't be giving that instruction. Does he do it? Hallelujah. And when I hear such, it doesn't shock me because I know that he's in the sheepfold. Is this pastor? Everybody's allowed. But the shepherd must be smart. Imagine there's a foolish shepherd who takes a wolf in sheep clothing and makes him the leader of the sheep. You know what? You know why he's using wolf? You know wolf eat sheep. He must be eating them. One by one. You just said, sheep follow me. Let me take it somewhere. Sheep follow. That's what they do normally. They'll just follow. Bam. Before he's done with his tenure as the leader. And we see that all over the place. People are messed up. People are angry. People that have left the church. People are no more growing. I'm going to say, I'm rushing. My time is when I'm rushing to get to somewhere. Just two more things. One, the hireling. The next one is the hireling. That is the hireling. John 10 verse 12. You know who a hireling is? Who is a hireling? He said, he that is a hireling and not the shepherd. Whose own the sheep are not. So it tells you in the sheepfold there are people that are hirelings. Look at the point. Hirelings are people who are supposed to be shepherds. But they are working for their money. And you know, whenever somebody is working for his money, that's what he is concerned about. So he said, the sheep is not his own. He will see the wolf coming. He will leave the sheep and he will flee. But see the next verse. The hireling fleeth because he's a hireling. He doesn't care for the sheep. Now, the hireling in this context refers to the leader who doesn't care for the sheep. He's just after what he will gain. And I want to say, sadly, these people are in church. Yes, a leader can be wrong. Can have. Now, That's what I'm going to give you. If you are under to a leader who is just out there to exploit and what have you, right? Please do not let their attitude discourage you or affect your commitment to the pastor. Because we might put you under a leader who is a hireling or maybe is still growing. Who don't really care. All they think about is their pocket, their game. What is in this for me? A proper owner of the sheep. I was talking to the pastors yesterday. If the sheep belongs to you, that's the way you treat it. Because they were asking me, like, can't I be passing through something and I just ignore people when they're passing through their own? I say you cannot do that. A shepherd doesn't do that. A shepherd doesn't say, myself, I'm passing through a lot. So let me even understand myself first. That's not a shepherd. Imagine you go to the hospital for you to be treated and you tell the doctor, I have malaria. I say, please leave me. Me, I have malaria. Take your bed. Let me take my bed. No. The shepherd bears his own wound and is attending to the sheep. The hireling doesn't care. If he's not in the mood as a leader, don't come near to him. And don't be like that as a leader. You must carry the interest of the sheep at heart, not as someone who is being paid. Carry it at heart. Don't be a leader who acts like a hireling. They don't care about anything, you know. Sometimes, how you know hirelings, they work on it by instruction. They don't really care. They just do what they're asked to do. Pastor, I should call you to check up on you. How are you? They said every week we must at least call 3 members to know how they're doing. So I'm going to go, how are you doing? Are you fine? Okay. You, I'll call you. And that's, they just work as though it's not their own. Have you ever gone to, you know, I was entering a pharmacy shop one day. It happens in many shops. Let me tell you, I wanted to buy shoes from one store one of those days. So as we were driving into the store, they were locking up. So when I saw them locking up, I said, oh, that, I wanted to turn. The owner of the shop was around. He ran out. I said, oh, she couldn't natural. I said, come in. I need you open. They've gone past their closing time, but it's his business. I didn't get the point. He said, come in. Ah, he said, I thought you were closing. He said, Banyokwa. Closing what? We are around. When I was entering the pharmacy shop one day, these sales girls, they've not even started closing. Because at the time I've reached. They didn't even talk to me. I was getting to the door. They were just shutting off their lights. You know what I'm saying? This scripture just came to my mind. The hireling. They don't care about the business. All they know is that they say we should close by 9. And 9 I've reached. Don't be like that. But you, the sheep, what you do when you notice such people, don't let them discourage you. I said, what kind of church is this? I thought they say this place is the pasture of the Lord. There are also hirelings in the field. So understand that. We will say more tomorrow about this one. And then finally, which one I want to talk about, where I want to get to and close. You have other sheep. Other sheep. So when you hear pasture, you will think it's only sheep that is there. Everybody's there. There's the chief shepherd. There's the shepherd. There are hirelings. Then there are wolves moving up and down. Then there are other sheep. So when you come into a sheepfold and you look, you will see only two personalities. You will see man. You will see sheep. Only two. That's when you look with your natural eyes. When you look further, you will no longer see only man and sheep. You will see shepherd. You will see hireling. Both of them are men. Are you following what I'm talking about? Both of them are men. One does not care. Then when you look further into the sheep, you see that all the sheep are not really sheep. Some are actually wolves. So how do you relate to other sheep? Very important. John 10:16. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He said, and other sheep I have. I just want to show that the other sheep, which are not of this sheepfold, them I must bring. They shall hear my voice and shall be one fold and one shepherd. So he's telling us that there are other sheep that will come in. So you will not be the only sheep in this sheepfold. Is that okay? There are other people. But then how do you relate with them? Ezekiel 34:17. As for you, my flock, thus says the Lord, behold. Oh, give me NLT because of our time. Behold, I will judge between, let me read the NLT. NLT said, as for you, my flock, this is what the sovereign Lord says to his people. Because all the time in Ezekiel 34, he has been talking to the shepherd, judging the shepherd. He said, well, I will judge between one animal of the flock and another, separating the sheep from the goats. Now, isn't it enough for you to keep the best of the pasture? Who was he talking to now? The sheep. So in the sheep, some are bigger in the sheep, some are bigger sheep and the smaller sheep. He's saying, you keep the best of the pastures for yourselves. Must you also trample down the rest? Is it enough for you to drink clear water for yourself? Must you also muddy the rest with your feet? Why must my flock eat what you have trampled down and drink water from what you have, the water you have fouled? I get to the point. So you learn what he's teaching. He's actually saying, you must make it easy for other sheep to also feed. Because he's saying, you're finished eating. Why are you messing up the place? Some people make it difficult for others to grow in the local church. Either they're gossiping, or they're acting in strange, or they're not walking in love. A new member enters church. A new member just enters church. He's coming in as sheep. You are the sheep that has been there. You are supposed to make it easy for the person to feed in that pasture. Because there is judgment for the shepherd, but there is judgment for the sheep. There is judgment for the sheep in how he relates with the shepherd, and majorly how he relates with other sheep. He said, why must my flock eat what you've trampled out? Give me verse 20. Let's continue. He said, therefore, this is what the Lord says, I will surely judge between the fat sheep and the scrawny sheep. For you fat sheep, pushed and butted and crowded my sick and hungry flock until you scatter them to distant land. There are people that their job is to make sure that they scatter things. You must know how to behave as a member of the local church. So that because of you, if a new member enters church and you are the first person he mistakenly connects with, you must make sure that person grows. That's what he's saying. You're already feeding from the sheepfold. Why making it difficult? No, there are people that enter, a new member enters, becomes their friend. In less than 1 week, they've quarreled with the new member. That quarreling alone has made it difficult for that person. You say, is this how the church is? Me, I'm not staying again. So they scatter the sheep. Imagine a new member enters church and starts to relate with you. First 1 week, you've stolen money from him. You say, ah. So there are other sheep that make it hard for other sheep to feed. Make it easy. Now, there are many things I can say about this. I wish I had more time. That's why, for instance, let me give a perfect example. That's why if you are a leader, a worker, a member here, and we are praying, make sure you are praying passionately. Even if I'm teaching on what you've heard me say before, make sure you receive it actively. If you don't receive it well, you are making it hard for other sheep that are coming in to receive that thing. Because they're going to be saying, Pastor said before now, oh yes, yes, yes. Just, you know, you are making it very difficult for others. So because you've gotten it, you've eaten it, you are not making it difficult for others. You're supposed to make it easy. Give me the next verse. So I will rescue my flock and they will no longer be abused. That's an abuse of the sheep going on by fellowship. Making it hard for people to grow. So, we are singing. And you've been in this church. You've been around. You are the one that when they are preaching, you will never take notes. When they are preaching, you are pressing your phone. You're on TikTok. And there is a new member by your side watching you TikTok in church. You're actually making it hard for that person to benefit from that sheepfold. So God says that the judgment is coming for you. Because the person is obviously going to get on trust in church and it would have been you that contributed. So that is a duty the sheep has towards other sheep. Are you following the point? You guys are in a generation. And all of that, you guys want to come up with evangelism. A new member comes into your generation, very excited, very happy. First of evangelism by 4 p.m. He's out. Then you are the one that is missing. When he shows up 3-4 times, he will stop showing up. Because even the people he was looking up to that were the serious members in church, they're not even coming. You have contributed. I feel what I'm saying. That's why every sheep that is bigger must play a role model assignment to people that are coming in, to help them, so that they will feed well as you are fed. So you must make sure that you as the sheep, you are not contributing to other sheep not being fed. So in your department, the person joins, maybe they are selling university department, but you're so excited to serve in the church, so excited. They say, I'm meeting by 4 p.m. Person shows up, you are the one that is absent. By the time you are absent 3, 4, 5, 6 times, when they say, I'm going to wear uniform, all of us are wearing green. You say, please, I don't have green. I don't have green. Because me, I will say my mind. If you will not talk, I will talk. You are making it very hard. So before you know, the person says, oh, now so now they do for here. Okay. People didn't tell me that's how people used to do. So you're affecting the feeding process. I get any point. I teach this to my pastors and ministers. If you, even if we hold two services here, and for now, in the two services, I preach the same message. Even if you've heard me say something in the first service and you're in the second service, you dare not begin to doze off in the second service because you've heard it in the first service. If you're going to doze off, get up and go home. Because that sitting down, dozing off and acting like very nonchalantly is affecting people who are just coming for that second service for the first time. So get up and get out. And that goes to everybody. That is duty that sheep owes other sheep. Make it easy for other people to flock. Do not, if I let me even say this, please. Even if you will not drink from the water again, do not muddy it, because you don't need it again. There are people that when they are done feeding from a church and they want to leave the church, they must talk bad of the church to other, bad about the church to other people. No matter how angry you are with the church now, that church fed you for like 6 years. It was your dining table for 6 years, and now you want to make sure that you mess it up for another person before you go. Please, before you go, remember that even though you don't need that sheep, that sheepfold, you find a better pasture. Some people still need it. Some people, that is still there. That is still all they know. I get what I'm saying. Some don't have another place to go to. So you are now angry. You are leaving. You mess it up. Make sure that you mess it up for everybody. Say all the bad about that church. That's why you've left the church. Don't talk bad about the church. I've been a member of two churches before I founded this church. I don't have a right to talk bad about them. Because even though I don't need it again, there are people who that is all they know till now. They still need it. So why are you talking bad about them? See, if I talk bad about them and they leave the church, what is my guarantee they will join a good church? I have not seen where they talk bad about people and they leave church. They don't even join anyone again. I spoke to my man of God. I said, he was talking to one girl, trying to pull the girl out of a covering she was under. I said, I hope when you succeed, I hope you will cover this girl. I hope when you pull her out, I hope you will do everything that pastor was doing for her. But it's not about running your mouth. Now, I've seen people that have talked bad about the church, people have left the church. The problem is, those people that have left that church, none of them, some of them didn't join another church. Some of them are busy prostituting. Some of them are busy living a wayward life. And it's because of you. He said, I don't care. I said my mind. You stopped another sheep from feeding. Make this place feedable. Inhabitable and place that people will love to eat. Clean the dining table. Wash the plates. Keep it clean. Show good table manners. Are you following what I'm saying? That when others are watching you eat, they'll say, okay, is that how they used to eat? Because when a new member enters church, he doesn't know. Do you know how children learn how to eat? They watch you. They watch you feed. So that's what the new member does. He's watching. Okay. Okay, when they preach here, they used to write. Everybody's writing. It means next week I'm going to buy my own notes. I get the point. Oh, when they sing here, they dance. We're going to get next week. I'm going to try. I'm a shy person, but I'll try. Do you get the point? Everybody's praying. Don't be the one that we are praying and you are downstairs. Pressing phone, talking with who doesn't concern you. And then you might see me. And I say, what are you doing out there? He said, Daddy, my grandfather called. He said that my grandmother swallowed spoon. I will understand you.
I understand you. But there is this sheep that is coming in. Who all he knows is that he saw you out there making call. And he has said, oh, that's what I do for here. So by next Sunday, he will also come with his own phone. Are you following the point? Don't make it hard for others to feed. Find ways to make the younger sheep comfortable and easy for them to feed. Find ways. Find ways to serve them. That's why we have departments. What is departments? What are people in the choir doing? They're making it easy for us to worship. People in the ushers, they want to make sure this place is clean. Because a younger sheep may come in and sit down and say, ah, this seat is dirty. I don't like dirty seats because it's small. They don't know much. Do you get the point? The centrally team guys wants to make sure that we keep the toilet very clean. So when you come, the sheep doesn't go down and say, ah, this toilet is not clean. I'm not coming back again. All the department guys are doing is they're trying to make it easy for you, for the sheep to be able to drink. Play your own part. Make this place a pasture that everybody wants to drink from. Don't be the one causing strife. Don't be the one causing quarrel. Don't be the one leading people astray by how you act. We'll be talking about dressing properly. Yet you are the one that will always wear short things to come. And you've been around for long. So what you observe is the best thing that came to church for the first time, who has been wearing short things all her life, who is meant to come to church and watch and see good examples, sees her next neighbor wearing short stuff, say, oh, it's even allowed. Make it easy. Because this feeding thing is not only it's the person that feeds, but you've seen how other sheep are affecting other ones from eating. I read this, I laughed a little. He told the fat sheep, say, you've eaten and you've pushed other people away. So they don't have anything to eat. You are eating. That's why, let me say this to you. I know you're a man of God, you are mature. And you've learned that prayer is not all about, it's not about frowning your face and using energy. Now you can talk to God very calmly. Sofriandosh. Saliandra Deco. Please, when we come to pray in church, don't pray like that. I know you are mature. And I know you've learned different ways of communicating with God. Oh, thank you. Sasate Kronda. Thank you. If I pray, don't pray like that. There are other sheep that also need to learn how to pray. And we don't want them to pray like you. We want them to pray like us. Shakarabata. That's what we want them to pray. Make it easy for them to learn how to pray. I get the point. Make it easy for them to learn how to dress. Make it easy for them to learn how to respond to the word. Don't be the one they will see sleeping. Don't be the one that the ushers will make sure they don't, because ushers should be smart. There are people you don't keep beside people. Very smartly. There are younger members in church, in placing them, you don't place them beside some unserious people because they will make sure they don't benefit anything from that service. It's the smartest an usher needs. That's why ushering is by the Spirit too. That sometimes you say, oh no, you don't go that way, go that way. Because wanted to sit beside a certain brother or a certain sister, do you understand? That will encourage you. Imagine an usher, imagine by left, this one is pressing phone. The other one is chatting on WhatsApp. The person in the middle is new member or younger believer. He will just pull out his own phone and start chatting. If we're in service like this and for some reason we will have to leave church, maybe I'm even aware, but you have work, you have to leave church. You know, maybe in the middle of the service and I'm aware, your leader is aware, there's also a way to leave. You can't come and sit in front with your bag and meet into the service. You carry it and just move. Watch anything that happens in any church, watch. Once that person leaves, in 5 minutes, other two people will stand up and go. I observe it everywhere. Once that one person leaves, other starts going. Yes. You know why? It's sheep. Sheep. That sheep no get. They just follow who is moving. Do you know the second person that stood up to go was not thinking of standing up before? But since somebody has stood up, as I say, it's even true. What am I even doing inside the church? I carry his Bible. So that is the way to do it.
Just carry your back and just move like that. No, you are making it hard. Maybe you now, pastor is aware that you are leaving. Even in the day you leave, you're going to put airport and begin to follow the service online and begin to respond. So you're actually getting blessed. Are you what I'm saying? But there's another sheep that will just carry his bag. I will not even come back next Sunday. So, in closing, I'm going to ask you, what are you doing to make this pasture better? Some of you have been here for like, this is your second time or third time. I'm also asking you, because you are now here. If you've come here for two times, how do they say it? By next Sunday, you have seen somebody. Is that not true? Yes. So what are you doing to make sure that that fresh guy that will come in on Sunday will really be blessed in the service? Are you the one? And ushers, please watch. You'll be smart. Know people not to keep together or keep around people. It's the smartness an usher needs. The wisdom an usher needs. We have prayer drive. It's going to be a prayer meeting. I know there's a particular brother that doesn't ever pray. Don't keep someone you are trying to help beside that person. We need people that when you are praying and your prayer fire is dropping, they can hold your hands and pray with you. That's how you keep people. Not just keep people beside other people, and when they are praying, they are pressing for, they are replying. Okay, now I'll see you next time. Shambro, shambro, yambro, yambro, shambro, shambro, yambro. You know you can't fool people. The guy beside you is looking at you. Say, look at this one. Because at the end of the day, we are getting bigger in the church. By the time we get to thousands, because God is going to make us tens of thousands. So a member may enter the church and may not meet over 9,000 people. Even in 1 year. He will just meet with a fraction of us. That's the truth now. Just a fraction. Maybe people in his team or his generation. Make sure that in your corner you are making it easy for someone to feed, to receive, to stay planted, to be blessed by how you respond. Because he said there is judgment coming. Tomorrow we'll look at that. He said, I will judge the shepherd. He said, I will judge the sheep too. I will judge the sheep too. Be that person that when people come around you, they learn how to follow better. They learn how to do it. That's why, if you are here, it also affects, what I'm talking about also affects the kind of life you live outside. Not be the kind of sheep that finish singing in church or ushering in church, and the new member sees you outside, and your life is totally different from who you are inside church. He will say, oh, is this what they do here? So after singing, they even go to a boy's house in the night. You have made sure. You know, you might come out from there and come and meet pastor and start singing. Abumaja darada, chineke wulie. Say, I'm sorry, I won't do it again. And we forgive you. We accept you. We know there is someone that may never come and meet pastor, but they saw you that day. One thing they told us when we got saved newly. You see here, there are more people that know you than you know. Are you aware? This it scares me. So that you go to a very far state, you think, here am I. Somebody just walks up and say, good afternoon. You don't know me. Now, think of many other people that knew you but never met you. I can't. So that's the way you conduct your life outside. I get to the point. Talk to everybody. Make it easy for other people to feed. Brother in church, as a new sister in church, every new sister in church, you get close to the person and start leading the person on. Then you lead the person on. After like 2 months, you shift from the person. What are you teaching? You are making it hard for the person to get serious with the Lord. The person will get hurt and leave the church while you remain in the church. I get what I'm saying. Be careful. Don't lead people on in this church. And sisters too, don't do that. Because you are making it hard for people to feed. Imagine somebody just coming into church, trying to find, there's excitement that comes when you find a good family. You understand? We had a case like that. Well, let me not tell the story. You know, when you find a good family, I'm so happy. This is my home. I'm so happy. Learning new things, learning the world, rejoicing. And when people come in like that,
that excited state, they're very vulnerable. Even if brother says, come to my house, he says, I'm coming. You know what she's thinking? We want to do Bible study. Yes. That's how sheep thinks. I get the point. It's not when we start training. He just feels, I'm coming. Don't be the person that will always say, come and visit me. So that you make it difficult for the person to grow. Difficult for the person to grow. If you've made any of these mistakes, it's not to feel guilty, but adjust. Make it easier for others to benefit in this sheepfold. Hallelujah. Are you blessed? Just lift your hands and just bless the Lord.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer requests, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.